Hi, welcome back, San Diego. Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on vacation this week. Matt Scraby's back from vacation this week.
Do we know where he is?
Yeah, well, we do.
Oh.
I'm not telling you.
Oh, great.
But I know he's been hard at work getting us ready for our fantasy football league. A league that will now include the great one. We made way for Sam Levitt to join the league this year. So I'll have somebody else to kick around.
You know, Sam, last year, when we started our Survivor League for the show, which I need to get going, actually.
Yes, I had our boss. Not just our boss, our boss.
Okay.
Michael Valenzuela.
Yes.
Asked me about when is Scraby going
to
put up the Survivor League.
Wow, okay.
So
then
you better hurry up and get on
that. Yeah, if Tony's able to get the league going before me, I need to rethink my life.
That's the least you can
bit.
Do, yeah.
I forgot where I was going with that, to be honest. Oh, Sam Levitt in the Survivor League. Last year, he did 1 week, and then he bowed out in the second week because he forgot to pick a team. So, Sam, if you're listening, you're going to have to make sure you are coming correct every single Sunday with your fantasy football team. This is a serious league. I am the champion. It's a serious league.
I can't believe you're the champion. I really can't believe you.
Champ is here.
No, the champ is done. It's time to prove yourself all over again.
Well, you know what I'm going to do?
And you're not going to have the same. You're not going to have the same advantage you had last year when we were able to keep Jamar Chase in the eighth round.
Yeah, he's back in the
and
pool.
And dominated everybody with that last
year. He's back in the pool.
Yeah. So
anyway.
All right. Fantasy football is kind of underway. We're pretty excited by it, for sure. And I'm sure your league out there is rolling along nicely, or at least getting close. But you got to get the survivor pool up there when the boss asks.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's going to have to happen tonight.
That needs to be taken care of.
That's going
to
happen real soon.
All right, you take care of that. Where are we at? Oh, Chris versus the Fan.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hello.
I've only run this show for like 7 years. So mm-hmm, you think mm-hmm. I've kind of figured it out by now. But truth be told, you know, it's a learning process every day. You can get qualified right now for our grand prize. That is a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas. And two tickets to Carrie Underwood. You better be nice to her. Otherwise, she'll smash out both your headlights.
Yeah, she'll dig her key into your car.
Carve her name into your leather seats, I think it is.
Carve my name into your leather seats.
Yeah, I didn't want you to sing that.
It's a good song.
Carrie Underwood Reflection at... it's called Carrie Underwood Reflection. It's at Resorts World Theater. By overwhelming demand, Carrie has extended her Las Vegas residency through spring of 2025. Carrie Underwood. Las Vegas, critically acclaimed production, Reflection, the Las Vegas residency goes August 14th to October 26th, 2024. Resorts World Theater, boy, this is a little confusing, I must tell you.
I was reading it earlier, and I thought about telling you in the break.
I'm trying to help the listeners out there. It says that her residency goes August 14th to October 26th, but it also says it's been extended through spring of 2025, so make of that what you will. But here's this. Just win and qualify and go see the show yourself. Tickets for 2024 and 25 are on sale now at AXS.com. That's AXS.com. Also, RWLasVegas.com. Please get me out of this.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you have to make it through three questions here. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And Chris versus the Fan is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation.
That's just not true.
Because I lost 40 pounds.
I lost 37.
Days. Yes. So you can't lose
even
more.
Even better than that.
You can lose more.
That's right.
Podzilla is also a fantasy football champion, so congratulations to you, Podzilla. Yeah. I am the champ is here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into...
Thanks, Podzilla, for giving him another chance to spout off about that.
All right, here we go with our first contestant. Let's go to Ryan. Hello, Ryan, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I'm here.
Also, I forgot to say, if you are a first-time player, Let us know before the first question. You get that one for free, okay?
Yep.
Bueno.
All right.
I'm a first-time player.
Oh, he is a first-time player!
I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. So he's already passed my question one.
Yes. Here we go to question number two. What team did Big Poppy David Ortiz start his Major League Baseball career with?
Interesting question.
I'm not sure. Detroit?
Detroit.
Not Detroit.
Stay there. I don't know the Chris.
I do. Oh, okay. And it's not, it's too bad, Ryan. The reason I know this is because when he was with this team, he was as skinny as a toothpick.
Oh.
And we've looked up the pictures before.
Yes.
On this show, because David Ortiz looked like he couldn't hit the ball out of the infield when he played for the Twins.
That's correct.
And then
I'm
all
sorry,
of a sudden,
Ryan,
he went to the Red Sox and he got a little bigger. I don't want to say that he was cheating, even though I think he was actually caught cheating.
Do you think he just ate a lot?
No, I think he started taking steroids.
Well, it's same for Barry Bonds.
Well, I'm not saying, hey, look, he was in the era that he was in. But if you want to see a funny picture, just think of David Ortiz in your mind.
Yeah.
And then call up on Google a picture of David Ortiz with the Minnesota Twins. You'll be like, what?
Who is that?
Yeah.
That's the same
totally different guy.
Did they call him Small Poppy when he was in Minnesota?
I don't know, but he didn't do anything, so the Twins were more than happy to let him go to the Red Sox, where he became one of the greatest players in the league.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our next contestant. We're going to go with Alex in Cardiff. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Too much. Good. Good.
Good to have you.
Here we go. Question number one. What happens when a pitcher balks in baseball? I hate that word.
What happens?
What happens? What's the penalty for balking?
Balking.
In baseball?
Well, each base runner advances.
All right.
There you go.
That's it. Yeah. There you go.
Quit while you're ahead, Alex. You got it. Very good.
I still don't. I understand the balk rule, but sometimes I'm like, what are they calling that for? Like, it doesn't look like he did anything.
Usually, if they come set and then they make a movement of some kind before they go into their actual pitch,
okay,
that's a balk. But you're right. It is hard to explain.
All right, here we go. Alex, question number two. Let's stick with the theme of what we did last time. What team did Sammy Sosa make his Major League Baseball debut with?
Ooh. Samuel.
White Sox.
Stay there. I didn't know this, actually, until I looked
it up. This is one of those things where Alex hurt himself by knowing as much as he did. Because I couldn't remember which of the two teams he started with. It was either going to be the Rangers or the White Sox. But since he guessed the White Sox and it was wrong, I will guess the Rangers, and I'll probably be right. Yeah.
Sorry
That's
about
too bad,
that,
Alex.
Alex.
And Alex said, you know, I just don't know. Then I would have been left with a 50-50 there.
You got to play the game.
I would have been left with a 50-50, but once he said White Sox, of course, he could have been right. But, yeah, Rangers, he was only with them for a moment.
And I think he finished his career with them.
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know where he finished.
I had no idea he was a White Sox before he was a Cub.
He was a White Sox for a little while. And much like David Ortiz, you know, he hit one home run, he hit three home runs. He hit 10 home runs, he hit 8 home runs.
This is a really bad team, and I'm sorry for Stephen Wilson.
Number three.
Number one overall pick in future of baseball, Jackson Holliday, has been hitting homers and showing why he was selected number one overall. Here's the headline on a tweet I saw earlier today from MLB. Quote, Jackson Holliday is here, and he's here to stay. End quote. Chris, do you think Jackson Holliday is here to stay?
Looks like it. Yeah, it's a good example, though. You know, Graham Pauly fans, Adam Major fans. Jackson Holliday was the number one guy, and he failed miserably.
He went like 1-for-40-something.
Oh, he was the worst player ever. But, you know, got a chance to go back. Put himself together. He obviously has a lot of talent, or he wouldn't have been the number one pick in the first place. I credit the Orioles for doing the right thing, and, you know, they're getting paid off handsomely for it now. Yeah, I think he's probably back to stay.
As much as I hate to say it, yes, he is back to stay because he is looking good, and he has the talent. They didn't just draft him number one overall because he was Matt Holliday's son. I mean, they're not going to do that. I just hate how...
You just told me not to use that word.
But this is, I'm not hating people. I'm hating the media coverage of Jackson Holliday.
No, stop.
Because there is other players in the... I'm not even talking about Jackson Merrill. There are other players that are better than Jackson Holliday. But all of a sudden, Jackson Holliday hits three home runs in three games, and he's the best player in the rookie class. And it really bothers me.
They're not saying that. They're saying that of Paul Skeens.
That also bothers me.
Yes, it does.
Number two.
All right, so we just talked about Pedro Grifol being fired from the White Sox. Now, here are some of the other... CBS Sports put out an article of some of the other managers that are on the chopping block, and you're going to tell me, Chris, who you think out of these guys I mentioned is the number one manager to be fired. Oliver Marmol of the Cardinals, Bud Black of the Rockies, Scott Service of the Mariners, John Schneider of the Blue Jays, and Mark Kotze of the A's. Which of those... Or one more. Davey Martinez of the Nationals. Which of those guys do you think is at the top of the hot seat list?
Mark Kotze cannot be on a hot seat.
His team is over.
The fact that he wins any games with one of the worst teams in baseball is remarkable.
He also took batting practice with Mason Miller yesterday, so that's fun.
Bud Black shouldn't be on a hot seat because he has no chance. Can you imagine being Bud Black? They don't even have a left-handed pitcher on their roster in the bullpen.
Really?
Like, he can't even go out and bring a lefty into the game.
That is bad.
I mean, you talk about a mismanaged franchise,
and we
could go on and on. So I can't fire Bud Black. I mean, he's working with incompetence. I'm going to say Toronto's having a bad year, so I'm going to say him.
John Schneider.
Yeah.
I have to
They shouldn't have been
you.
This bad.
I have to agree with you. They were supposed to make the playoffs. They were supposed to contend for the AL East. They're not even close, and they're having a terrible season, so it's got to be him. The Scott Service and the Mariners still have a chance to win the division.
And St. Louis could still make the playoffs, so
and
I can't pick them.
Blue Jays do not have a chance at anything.
No.
Number one.
All right, Jameis Winston is now a Brown. Did you know that, Chris?
No.
He is now a Brown.
There's a lot of guys I don't know what team they're on in the NFL.
That's true.
I mean, there was so much movement in the offseason.
He was speaking with the media, I think it was either yesterday or today or something, and he had an interesting way of talking about Deshaun Watson. So here is Jameis Winston
talking about Deshaun Watson's teammate now.
Yes, yes.
Right. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
So there you go. It was just Jameis Winston. My question is simple. Are you a Jameis Winston fan?
Yeah, he's funny. He lights up a room.
He's kind of polarizing in a little.
He has a good time.
Yeah.
But
I don't agree
with what he said. Deshaun Watson, along with being an awful human being, is not even a very good quarterback anymore. Did anybody watch him try to play last year?
It was tough.
All right.
It was tough. But I do love Jameis Winston. I love when he eats
When did the
W's.
Browns do something last year when Flacco came in?
That's
right?
True. Flacco made the playoffs, not Deshaun Watson.
Ugh.
All right, that's it for the Big Five.
The bad taste of Deshaun Watson will probably never leave anyone's mouth, honestly. It's just always going to be that way.
Well, the biggest mistake that they made was giving him fully guaranteed contract, which was one of the most crazy things I think I've heard.
He makes
a lot of money.
Makes a bit of money.
Yeah.
All right, why are you going to dislike Bradford Doolittle a lot? We'll explain when we kick off the happy hour next on Quinn and Chris.
So struck out in his 5-year career.
Do I say 400? Like, has he struck out 80 times a year? 300.
300. Fernando, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I believe it's an easy higher.
An easy higher.
You are correct. It is an easy higher, Fernando.
It?
Stay right there. I'm going to get your
400?
Information in the break. Way more than that.
Really?
In 5 years, you struck out 486 times.
Oh, my God. Yes. He's awful. That's what I thought originally.
His OPS plus for his career is basically average of 95, but he doesn't have a good batting average, and he struck out a lot.
I didn't know he struck out that much. All right, very good, Fernando.
Yeah,
you
stay
win
right
the Chris versus the fans today. You could be on your way to Las Vegas to see Carrie Underwood. We're on our way to check some traffic now on Gwen and Chris. 4:27 is the time. This from Project Gutenberg.
Huh?
Her skinniness makes her repulsive to me, and her face gives everyone the impression that she just sucked an enormous lemon.
Oh, my gosh, Chris. There were so many ways I thought that was going.
Why did I read that? Because skinniness is a word.
Just had to prove it to yourself?
I just had to prove it to everybody out there.
You had to subject us to that explanation?
I had to subject everybody to everything. Welcome back. Gwen and Chris here. Victory for Fernando. In today's Chris versus the Fans, coming up shortly, Big Five. It's been a good show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we miss Tony, of course, but I think it's been rolling along nicely here.
Me too. I'm back in the saddle, and it also helps when the Padres sweep a team like the Pirates.
My goodness, they're just, and the way they did it.
Yeah. You some dramatic game last night, dramatic game today, a 3-hour rainout on Tuesday.
It took a long time, but they got it done.
They did.
All three games, I think, were 3 hours.
Yeah.
First one was because of the rain, but last night's game was well over 3 hours.
Yeah.
Today was right around 3 hours.
3 hours and 1 minute.
There you go. So the Padres have won 14 out of 16 games. They are currently a narrow 2.5 games behind the Dodgers. How does that sound? I was trying to look up, and maybe you know where to look this up.
Okay.
What was their biggest deficit to the Dodgers this year?
Oh, let me see.
Like 12, 14 games? I'm not sure how far back, because they got so far behind that I just stopped looking. You know what I mean? And like
there was at least 10 games one point in this year.
Oh, I know it was more than 10. Now, they're way more than 10.
Hold on, I'm going there right now.
But I don't know. Where are you looking for this?
Baseball Ref, I think, reference.
You think Baseball Reference will have it?
But I'm
trying
to.
I don't think they put there. But they, you know, they might. I don't know.
Yeah, this says games behind.
Oh. All right.
All right, so they went to 4. Let's see. It was 8 on May 20th.
Yeah, but that's.
And then it was 10 on June 18th.
Yeah.
And
never got more than that.
No, 10 is it.
Get
from what I'm seeing,
here.
June 18th, 10 games, and then it went 9, 8, 8.5, 7.5. Now they're only 3 games.
Or 2.5.
2.5, sorry.
So they've never been more than 10 games behind the Dodgers.
It looks like that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the same thing. June 18th, they were 37-40.
Oh, God.
Wow. That was bad.
Oh, you know what they were doing? They were getting beat for the second time in Philly that day. So those were bad times.
37-40 was their record. They were 10 back. I thought they were way more than 10 back.
I did, too. I didn't think maybe it was like 15 or anything, but at least more than 10.
Yeah, well, it's 2.5 now, baby.
You hear that, Dodgers?
Yeah, we're creeping. We're creeping.
I've always believed in the Padres winning the division this year. Everybody called me crazy.
Well, you really... Okay.
What?
I find it hard to believe that you really believe this.
I do.
Nobody's believed it. Nobody even thought it was a possibility. Not even remote.
You told me to get rid of my hopes of the division months ago.
Yes, everybody told you.
And I told you, I'm not looking at the standings until August 1st. And now I can look at the standings, and now I can claim that I always believed.
By the way, next opponent for the Los Angeles Dodgers, after an off day today, they'll be home to Mitch Keller, Paul Skenes, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. But they get the best two pitchers Pittsburgh has, Keller and Skenes.
I like it. I like
all three, or both of whom were avoided by the Padres. Keller's having a great year.
Yeah, he is.
And we know Skenes.
They have to. I just don't understand how they couldn't make Paul Skenes match up once in these two series that they're going to be playing
with the Padres.
Because I know that Jackson Merrill would
because
take him deep.
Because everything is going our way right now, Scraby, and that's just a fact.
I took a lot of heat the other day, Chris, and I know we're going to talk about Jackson Merrill for Rookie of the Year, but I put up something on Twitter on Monday,
okay,
and I took a lot of heat from the Skenes people out there.
Well, we'll get into it in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have a little more time, but I want to make you know, yet another case for Merrill. And I haven't been making a loud case, but it's starting to get that way. And as I said earlier on this show, Jackson Merrill just had a whole lot to do with the Padres winning three games while Paul Skenes never left the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to factor into this a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I understand the Paul Skenes argument. I do. But the Jackson Merrill argument is getting stronger and stronger by the day.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. But next, we've got the Big Five. I don't know what Scraby's got in store for us on that. We'll find out together when Gwen and Chris returns. Padres over the Pirates 7-6 today. Three-run ninth, rallied and won it. For the Red Hot Friars, they're now 2.5 games back of the idle Dodgers in the National League West. Arizona will look to keep pace later on tonight. The Diamondbacks will be home to the Phillies. The Phillies have the best record in baseball right now, only 4.5 games better than the Padres. That's how good all of a sudden the Padres are.
The Phillies were looking like they were just going to run away with it. Easily,
Padres are 4.5 behind them.
I know.
Right now, Padres have the, as of this moment, they've got the top wild card spot. Arizona's right there, half game back. Mets have the third wild card spot now. Pete Alonso had a couple of home runs today. They beat the Rockies in Denver. Atlanta lost its fifth in a row. And what has happened to the mighty Braves pitching staff? They got beat 16-7 today by Milwaukee.
Didn't they hit Milwaukee 6 home runs?
I don't know.
Jackson Chourio had 2.
Oh, yeah, they went crazy. The Braves are now out of the playoffs if they started today. Who could have predicted that happening?
No one.
They're not even in right now. The team that is trying to make a run quietly, galloping on the outside, is the Giants. They won again today in extra innings. 9 at Washington. They're 3 out of a wild card at the moment. But the reason they're, you know, making noise is because they got all their pitchers in there now. They mm-hmm. got Snell going great guns.
Oh, yeah. We never even talked about that. He threw a no-hitter.
We talked about it. You were gone for a while.
Yeah.
We did talk when you were gone.
Wait, you guys just
We did let
air?
Everybody in on the fact that Snell threw a no-hitter.
Did you see when he got the cooler lid to the head?
He got soaked and
hurt.
Yeah.
Concussed.
Didn't go well. But, you know, they got Robbie Ray now. They got him. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I still got Logan Webb. Is it Logan? It's not Logan Webb.
Yeah, it is.
It is Logan Webb.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little update on the scoreboard situation. Let's. One thing I got to say, but in the 5 o'clock hour, don't go anywhere. Bradford Doolittle, this is a guy that I just love to hate, who writes for ESPN Plus. And ESPN Plus, that's a service that you have to pay extra
for.
There
it is. There it is.
And so I pay extra for it so that you don't have to.
I just hop on Adams and I have to keep up with it.
Well, I have my own. And here's, let me just tell you something. As of about 5:15 this afternoon, every one of you out there will hate Bradford Doolittle.
Ooh.
I can guarantee it.
Dislike, I prefer.
Yeah, dislike's probably better. Yeah, hate's too strong. We got enough of that going on in the world. But I guarantee you by 5:15, all of you will have a strong dislike for Bradford Doolittle. Stay tuned for that. Right now, traffic and then a Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. It's been a while since I've gotten to do a Big Five. I'm pretty excited about this one, so we should just get going, Chris.
I'm ready.
Number 5.
There it is. I've been clicking it for a second. The Padres are a season high 12 games over 500 right now, Chris. They're 64-52 after sweeping the Pirates, or as Jesse said, swabbing the deck of the Pirates.
Yes.
And all year,
as Mark Grant kept saying when the Pirates hit home run, or the Padres hit home runs, clear the decks, cannonball coming.
There's so many good things you could say about the you're playing the Pirates.
And you're whipping the Pirates.
Yes. All year, though, we've been talking about the over-under on the number of games that the Padres are going to win. It's been around 83.5 wins. Well, now that they're only 19 wins away from 83, what do you think their over-under for number of games won is now?
Yeah, it's a tough one, I think. You know, it's funny, too, when we were thinking that they needed 83 or 84 wins to get into the playoffs, we thought that would make it. Because remember, everybody was hovering around 500.
Yeah.
But now 84 probably would not make it. You know, the Diamondbacks, the Mets, whoever else is going to be, you know, whether the Braves can get it back together, the Giants, Cardinals. You're going to probably need 85 to 87 now. So that's changed. But the Padres, if they go 20 wins the rest of the way and lose 26, that would be ugly. They'd still win 84. So I got to believe they're going to go at least 26-20. I'm going to call 90 wins
now. Whoa.
I'm going to call 90.
Wow.
They keep going like they're going. I'm going to call a hundo.
A hundo?
They're going to go.
They can only lose 10 more games the rest of the year?
They're going to go. They're going to just go. They're going to go 36-10.
Wow.
No, they're not going to do
that. That would be incredible, Chris.
I think they're, you look, I saw something today. The Padres have the second easiest schedule, and we know what that means. We've heard it before, and
it's
not always a good thing.
Nope.
But they got the second easiest schedule in terms of opponent winning percentage. So I would think 26-20 is doable. That gets you to 90 wins. They still got Miami for three, Pittsburgh three more, Colorado for three more, Detroit for three, White Sox for three.
Oh, that's a barn burner right there.
Well, I'm just saying, they got a chance.
They do have a chance.
90. What do you
90.
Think?
I mean, that's a pretty
good
number.
Can you get that high?
But to make it different, I will say that the Mets are going to push, and I think the Giants are going to push.
It's looking that way.
The Diamondbacks scare me a lot, too. Well, so I'm going to say a lot of these teams are going to win. I think you need 92.
No, they're not going to get 92.
You're
not
going to
need that many. 90 will get you in.
You think? Well, yeah, I was going to be different. I was going to say 90 until you stole it. But
no, they're not going to get 92. They're going to get 28-18.
That's a lot.
They're playing so well
they
right
are.
Now, but 28-18, that's
be,
a lot more
I might
to
be
ask.
Drinking the Kool-Aid right now.
Yeah, we're all drinking a little bit. And
okay, I'll say more realistic. I would say 86.
Well, let's put it this way. If they win five, if they go 23-23, they'll win 87. That's just if they play 500 the rest of the way.
87.
You're only going to predict them to play 500 the rest of the way?
Well, I've given out like three numbers already, so
yeah,
I'm just going to keep going.
Everything.
But you picked the best number, I think, which is 90.
I like it.
All right.
Number four.
Now, the White Sox have been historically bad this season and were bad last season, and they have now fired their manager, Pedro Grifol. He was 101 games below 500 in regards to his manager record with the White Sox. And listening to Chicago radio, everybody was begging for this to happen, and I didn't really understand why, so I'm up first. Is he the sacrificial lamb, or did he deserve to get axed? I think there's a little bit of both here, Chris. Okay. I think that he deserved to get axed because it sounded like he lost the locker room and no one was really listening to him anymore. The other thing is, he is the sacrificial lamb, because I will say this over and over and over and over. When a GM fires a manager, it tells me that they're looking for a scapegoat, because the GM ultimately is responsible for what is put on the field. And has he had winning teams put on the field? I don't think so. Now, did anybody think they were going to be this bad? No. But at the same time, I don't know how a GM can stay and a coach can go when you're this bad. Because Chris Getz has done not much to put him in a good position. Chris?
Hi. How are
Hello.
You? Hello. Well, now that they've traded everybody, they really have nobody left.
Yeah.
But they had some players on this roster. I hate to tell you. Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Tommy Pham. You know, I'm not. This isn't a, you know, an all star. But, you know, Crochet, Fetty was in demand. You know, Clevenger and Soroka got hurt. So I don't know that it's on the GM. I don't know that they had a championship roster, but they certainly had a better than 28. And they're 28 and 89. They're 61 games below 500. My goodness.
That's bad.
Here's the thing. The Mets, 62 Mets, had a 250 winning percentage. The White Sox winning percentage right now is 239. They could be the worst team ever made. I think is a good move.
With to fire Grifol?
I do. With a month and a half, 2 months to go, until Grady Sizemore is going to be the interim, tell him, look, you finish 500 the rest of the way, I'll give you the job. I mean, something to try to motivate this team to at least not completely play out the string and like finish with 30 wins. Because that's what it looks like they're doing now. They've lost 22 of their last 23 games.
Yeah. So. The reason I think that Chris Getz is at some fault is because the 670, the score, was saying that they don't like the moves that he's made.
I don't think he's without fault.
Okay, but. Because he's trading in division. He's not getting back the players that, you know,
well,
would
he doesn't
help
know
build.
What he doesn't know what he's doing, clearly. But I think a managerial change right now is something that maybe light the smallest fire so that you don't finish with the worst record of all time.
I'm going to blame the owner.
Yeah, he's good to blame.
Is it Reinsdorf?
Even when the Bulls won 6 championships, they were blaming him for everything that went wrong.
That's a little unfortunate.
Right. Even when they were winning, they hated Reinsdorf.
So. This is a really bad team, and I'm sorry for Stephen Wilson.
Number 3.
Number 1 overall pick in future of baseball, Jackson Holliday, has been hitting homers and showing why he was selected number 1 overall. Here's the headline on a tweet I saw earlier today from MLB. Quote, Jackson Holliday is here and he's here to stay. End quote. Chris, do you think Jackson Holliday is here to stay?
Looks like it. Yeah, that's a good example, though. You know, Graham Pauly fans, Adam Major fans. Jackson Holliday was the number one guy, and he failed miserably.
He went like 1 for 40-something.
He was the worst player ever. But, you know, got a chance to go back, put himself together. He obviously has a lot of talent, or he wouldn't have been the number one pick in the first place. I credit the Orioles for doing the right thing, and, you know, they're getting paid off handsomely for it now. Yeah, I think he's probably back to stay.
As much as I hate to say it, yes, he is back to stay because he is looking good, and he has the talent. They didn't just draft him number one overall because he was Matt Holliday's son. I mean, they're not going to do that. I just hate how...
You just told me not to use that word.
But this is, I'm not hating people. I'm hating the media coverage of Jackson Holliday.
No, stop.
Because there is other players in the... I'm not even talking about Jackson Merrill. There are other players that are better than Jackson Holliday. But all of a sudden, Jackson Holliday hits 3 home runs in 3 games, and he's the best player in the rookie class. And it really bothers me.
They're not saying that. They're saying that of Paul Skeens.
That also bothers me.
Yes, it does.
Number 2.
All right, so we just talked about Pedro Grifol being fired from the White Sox. Now, here are some of the other... CBS Sports put out an article of some of the other managers that are on the chopping block, and you're going to tell me, Chris, who you think out of these guys I mentioned is the number one manager to be fired. Oliver Marmol of the Cardinals, Bud Black of the Rockies, Scott Service of the Mariners, John Schneider of the Blue Jays, and Mark Kotze of the A's. Which of those... Or one more, Davey Martinez of the Nationals. Which of those guys do you think is at the top of the hot seat list?
Mark Kotze cannot be on a hot seat.
His team is over.
The fact that he wins any games with one of the worst teams in baseball is remarkable.
He also took batting practice with Mason Miller yesterday, so that's fun.
Bud Black shouldn't be on a hot seat because he has no chance. Can you imagine being Bud Black? They don't even have a left-handed pitcher on their roster in the bullpen.
Really?
Like, he can't even go out and bring a lefty into the game.
That is bad.
And you talk about a mismanaged franchise,
and we
could go on and on. So I can't fire Bud Black. I mean, he's working with incompetence. I'm going to say Toronto's having a bad year, so I'm going to say him.
John Schneider.
Yeah.
I have to
They shouldn't have been this bad.
I have to agree with you. They were supposed to make the playoffs. They're supposed to contend for the AL East. They're not even close, and they're having a terrible season, so it's got to be him. The Scott Servais and the Mariners still have a chance to win the division.
And St. Louis could still make the playoffs, and so I can't pick them.
Blue Jays do not have a chance at anything.
No.
Number one.
All right, Jameis Winston is now a Brown. Did you know that, Chris?
No.
He is now a Brown.
There's a lot of guys I don't know what team they're on in the NFL.
That's true.
I mean, there was so much movement in the offseason.
He was speaking with the media, I think it was either yesterday or today or something, and he had an interesting way of talking about Deshaun Watson. So here is Jameis Winston.
Oh, Deshaun Watson's
about Deshaun
his teammate
Watson.
Now.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
So there you go. It was just Jameis Winston. My question is simple. Are you a Jameis Winston fan?
Yeah. Yeah, he's funny. I mean, he lights up a room.
He's kind of polarizing in a little.
He has a good time.
Yeah.
But
I don't agree
with what he said. Deshaun Watson, along with being an awful human being, is not even a very good quarterback anymore. Did anybody watch him try to play last year?
It was tough.
All right.
It was tough. But I do love Jameis Winston. I love when he eats
the W's.
When
did the Browns do something last year when Flacco came in?
That's
right?
True. Flacco made the playoffs, not Deshaun Watson.
Ugh.
All right. That's it for the Big Five.
The bad taste of Deshaun Watson will probably never leave anyone's mouth, honestly. It's just always going to be that way.
Well, the biggest mistake that they made was giving him fully guaranteed contract, which was one of the most crazy things I think I've heard.
He makes
a lot of money.
Makes a bit of money.
Yeah.
All right. Why are you going to dislike Bradford Doolittle a lot? We'll explain when we kick off the happy hour next on Gwynn and Chris.